Welcome to our Christ the King Sunday. And it's kind of interesting as I started looking at this text, and especially during the study and then during our adult Bible study this morning, how things during the week and how things come together for this time. Today, we are going to see Jesus Christ is something different than what many of us expect, or how many of us expect to see him at this time of year. At this time of year, we kind of think of Christmas. But our text for this morning is going to show Jesus as King. King in all his power and his glory. And a king who is about to do a separation. Not a judgment, as some texts would say, but a separation on those who have believed and those who have followed him and those who have not. And so it is not a text of gloom and doom, one that is meant to scare you, but rather it is one to help you to understand who and what Jesus is today, and what we can expect as our Lord and Savior comes back. And because of the text of comfort, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. When the Son of Man has come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but of the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not do it, or did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. In really setting up the text for this morning, we have to look at it almost in the way that we look at the church year and how it is set up. Our first verses tell of Christ's second coming. And it is in stark contrast to what we are preparing for today. If we think about Christmas, we think about the nativity scene, we see a Christ who is quite harmless. We see a baby lying in a manger, who is born to very poor parents, born in a nothing town, and not even important enough to get a room in an inn, but is instead in a barn. And now Jesus is talking about His second coming, and it is much different than when He first came. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit upon His glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Notice that Jesus does not come the second time as a helpless servant, as a helpless baby, but rather He comes as a conquering king, one who has conquered the three greatest things that we face in this life. He has conquered sin, death, and the devil. And He has given us all victory over those things. He will no longer be subject to Roman rule, to the Jewish authorities. Jesus has no power on this earth, no equal on this earth. All nations will bow before Him. And we heard this already earlier in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of His strength, of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. There is nothing greater than our King. This kind of goes along with some of the things that I talked about last week. There is no government here on earth that can thwart God's will. There is no people that can thwart Jesus Christ. He is the King and He sits upon the throne, and all things on this earth are subject to Him. And that's the way it is. We don't always see it, and we think that somehow people aren't, or that God isn't in control. But He is. Jesus is going to come back, and we will see Him in all His power and His glory. And at this time, yes, there will be a separation. For those who believe what Christ did for them, and those who have rejected it. Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sin of the world. All people. The only difference, the only thing that will matter within that separation is whether you believed it, received it, and followed Him, or whether you rejected it. And we will find out that those who have received Him receive the kingdom. And the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those on the right hand receive the inheritance that has been planned by God from the foundation of the world. God knew at the time that He created man what was going to happen. And yet, He loved us so much, instead of going, nope, I'm going back to the drawing board, He created Adam and Eve, and He created you and I. He knew that we would sin, but He always had the plan for redemption for us. He was going to send His Son. And the first time, not as a conquering king. Oh, He would be a conquering king. But not in the way that we would see it. He didn't come to some important kingly palace. He wasn't born in riches. He didn't have a powerful army. He came as a little baby, born in a barn. And no matter how hard you may try to clean a barn, it is still a barn. And it is dirty. And it is messy. And it is a lowly place. But that's the place that God chose to send His Son. His power. His glory. To mankind. Not in a way that we would want it. Not in the way that we would even expect it. The Jews were waiting for their Messiah for years and years and years. Yet they couldn't recognize Him. Because He didn't come as that king. He came as a servant. One who served sinners. One who didn't just hang out with the righteous and the perfect people. But one who loved all people wherever they were at. And it is because of this service that I think He sets up the next part of His text. You see, for those of us who believe this message, who believe that Jesus indeed died for our sins, what happens in the next part of this text is who we are. It is God working in and through us in our lives. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Now, I think this text is very interesting because really what you see in what Jesus says to the servants on His right hand is the exact same things that He did throughout His ministry. He fed people. He gave them living water to drink. He took care of their basic needs. And He proclaimed to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what He did through His life. This is the person that we claim to follow as believers. Then we have to look at the other one. Well, when did we see you like this? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you a stranger? When were you in prison? When were you in the hospital? And Jesus' answer is very, very different than what we would expect. You see, with this text, we could set up all kinds of things. Well, now next week, we got to get a group that goes down to the mission and make sure that we feed all the people on the streets. And we got to get a group that gets all the clothing together so we can give it out to the poor. And we got to get a group together. And this is how we are going to prove that we are Christians. That's really not what he's saying here. What he's really dealing with, truly I say to you, as you did this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And this really becomes the thing. Do you want to know where Christ is? And I'm going to do this demonstration again. Look around. Look around. See all the people. You can turn your heads. Do all that stuff. You want to know where Christ is? He's here. But he's also out there. When you're walking down the street, when you see people, that's where Christ has chosen to live and to reside. In people. Our calling now as believers in Him is to serve those people. The least of these. Something we've been talking about in our adult class is that Lutherans often get beat up for not teaching good works. You tell people that they shouldn't do anything good because it doesn't matter. No, actually what we teach is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will do these things. Because it's who you are. It's what Christ has created you to be. And so when you walk down the street, you don't see the bum or the person in rags. You see Jesus Christ. Or at least you see someone who Christ died for. And you serve them. Today during our adult Sunday school, I told a story and someone had one very similar, but I'll tell mine. I was at Park Point with a bunch of college and career type people. I was at that age. And we were playing volleyball down in Duluth. Very beautiful place. And all of a sudden coming down the street and into the park, around the big loop, if anybody's ever been to Park Point or on the volleyball courts, comes a motorcycle gang. Well, of course, to a bunch of Christian kids, especially young, the only thing you could think of was, well, here we go. We better get ready to get out of here. This is going to get out of control. They parked their motorcycles and they all got off, and all of a sudden everybody walked over to this one guy and he started handing out garbage bags. And those men and some ladies grabbed a garbage bag and they started combing the park. And picked up all the garbage. Saying hi, being friendly to all the people around there. And then I noticed on the back of one of the jackets it said Riders for Christ. Serving in the place that they are, in the way that they are. You see, this is our calling. This is our identity in Jesus Christ. We serve people. Because that's who we are. Again, the very simple explanation of my apple tree, and I tell it all the time, but I think it makes so much sense. The apple tree in my backyard produces apples. It serves people. It visits them. It teaches them. Just because that's what it is. Or that's what we do, because that's what we are. as my apple tree produces apples. Not pears, not lemons, not anything else. It produces apples. We as believers in Jesus Christ will do these things. That's why this should not be scary to us. Because if we truly have faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit leads and guides our lives, and this is not scary. We don't need to make a rule about it. It's because it's what we do. When we come into contact with that person in need, we help them. When we hear of someone in need, we take care of them. And it is not just because they're rich or powerful or that they can help us. Because Jesus says, "What you do to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me." You see, we're really good at helping those who can help us. We're really good at helping the powerful, the rich, those who might help us out. But do we help out those who can't help us? Those who are struggling? Those who may need our help for years and years and years? Or do we overlook them, not wanting to get involved? This text can certainly bring out a self-examination, and probably should. We call ourselves Christians. We say we believe in Jesus Christ. We can certainly look back on our lives and see, do we serve the least of these, His brethren? And maybe this is a calling to repentance, a calling to change our ways. But there is also forgiveness here. Forgiveness that Jesus died on the cross, even though we mess this up sometimes. And so you too, or we too, can all believe that we are forgiven. And it is only when you reject and think, well, no, I'm too bad, that the end of this text happens. And then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer the Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer to them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And this is where I also think that we need to really kind of come to a little bit of self-examination. Because indeed, if we have faith and we claim to have faith, these things should happen within our lives. Faith is believing. But where there is faith, there is action. And this is another thing that we talked about this morning during our adult Sunday school class. Jesus showed us what faith was, and that he went to the poor, to the thief, to the adulterer, to the drunkard, to the downtrodden. And he ministered to them. He treated them with love and respect. And he forgave them. He proclaimed their sins forgiven, so that they too could have faith. And James really brings this home to us. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not bother to give them what is necessarily for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may say, well, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, for a long time, I hated big into faith alone. But I came to realize, the more I looked at it, that used within changes you. It can't help it. You will do things. Does that faith or does that work save you? No. Because we can never do enough to outdo the sin that we have in our lives. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a saint, which is what you are as a believer, you will do the things that God has called you to do. Christianity is serving one another and serving the least of these, His brethren. Christianity is not a club in which we join so we can look at the rest of the world as evil. It is a following of the person of Jesus Christ in serving others. And looking at others is more important than ourselves. And being led by the power of the Holy Spirit to serve those who may be suffering. If we look at the pattern of Jesus' ministry, He healed people, He fed them, and He was able to earn their trust so that they could hear His gospel message. Jesus tells us that when we take care of the least of God's children, we care for Him. If we want to find Jesus Christ in this world, look to the world. Look to all the people in it, believers and non-believers. Look to the sinners. Look to the poor. Look to the drunks, the adulterers, the harlots, the drug addicts, the sick, the hurting. Serve them. It is there that you will find Jesus Christ. We are to go and serve those even whom we may find repulsive. That's our calling. That's who we are. Jesus, when He was up before He came in the first time, could have looked down on us as the repulsive sinners that we are and not come to us. But He did. He loved us so much He came from His perfect place in heaven to this place. Allowed Himself to be hung upon the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus Christ and God have no desire that any would be on His left hand. He wants all people to know that they too are forgiven. And He works through His body, us, the church, the believers, to spread that message. So as we leave here today, go, spread that message. so that all people will be righteous and inherit eternal life. God has no desire to punish anyone. If He did, He would have punished us all and not sent His Son. And so, in closing, let the Holy Spirit work in you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, allow the Spirit through the Word to come forth that we would go out and serve the least of these, Christ's brethren, and bring them the message of the gospel. Yes, but also take care of their needs. And in this, we can all know that we indeed have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Let us pray.